Well, my Bible is open. Genesis chapter 1 this morning.
Genesis chapter 1, that's where we're going to be. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to start reading from verse 24. Genesis 1, starting at verse 24, it says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind, and it was so. God made the beast of the earth after their kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." In this small section of Scripture, we see an interesting concept or an interesting phrase that we don't always fully understand. I'm talking about this phrase, the image of God, that humanity is created in the image of God. And the reason I say it's interesting is because the other parts of creation are not created in God's image. This language isn't used for the other parts of creation. For instance, for the light and the darkness, well, they're not created in God's image. Going back to verse 3, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness." These verses don't say that the light was created in God's image. That's just not how it works. And it's the same for the trees. The trees were not created in God's image. Same for the water. Same for the stars. Even whenever you're looking at the other living creatures, they're not created in God's image. How are they created? Let's go back to verse 24. "Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind." See, these living creatures, they're created after their kind. They're not created in the image of God. And this is something important for us. There's something important for us to understand. And we don't always understand why it's important, but it is. It's important that we understand that we are created in God's image, because if we don't understand that, then it affects other things down the road in our lives. If we don't have the recognition that we are created in God's image, then we don't see reality correctly. We become confused. For instance, if we don't understand that we're created in God's image, we start to think that we're just like the animals. You know, we don't see anything special about humanity. We're just like the cats and the dogs and the apes and the wolves and so on and so forth. Let me just say that's just wrong. God created us special so that he could be with us and have a relationship with us. God didn't create the universe so that he could have a relationship with the stars or with the trees or with the fish. God created the universe so that he could have a relationship with humanity. But if we don't understand that we're created in God's image, then we don't always see that. We think we're just like the other parts of creation. And because of that, human life may be trivialized. Murder might become okay. Abortion, killing babies might become okay because there's nothing special about humanity. It's important that we understand that we're created in God's image. And I have no doubt that everyone in here believes that. I'm sure we all believe here in this building that we are created in God's image. But notice with me, it's also important that we understand what this means for us. What it means for us to be created in God's image. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about what it means for us to image God. Now, the word used in Genesis 1, whenever it talks about we're created in God's image, that word is the same word that's frequently used in the Old Testament talking about idolatry. You can sort of see it like the image of Baal or graven images. So that word, the Hebrew word tselem, that word carries a lot of baggage with it. When the ancient readers would have read that word, they would have read it through the lens of idolatry. And I suggest this morning that's how we should read it also. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not supporting idolatry, so don't leave the building and tell, you know, all your friends, oh, our preacher Reuben supports idolatry. That's not what I'm saying. But if we're going to understand what it means to be created in the image of God, looking through that lens or that window of tselem, of idols, I think will help us. So in this lesson, we're really going to just answer one question. It's on the screen. What does imaging God mean for me, for us? So what does imaging God mean for us? Well, one of the things it means that we express God. In ancient culture, idols would sometimes have these physical attributes that would accentuate or express the God that the idol represents. For instance, if you have a fertility god, they might have attributes that would express that they are indeed a god of fertility. In the ancient world, gods might be beasts, or they might have human features, and those human features might accentuate that the god was intended to speak. It would have a mouth so the god would speak. It would have ears so the god would hear. At least that's what the pagans believed. As a matter of fact, there was a ceremony called the mouth-washing ceremony. And in this mouth-washing ceremony, they would go through that ceremony, and it would allow the god to eat and to drink and to speak, or so that's what the pagans believed in their religion. So these idols, they would have features that expressed the god that they represent. Well, similarly, since we are made in the image of God, well, we express God. You know, some people like to say that the Bible represents God anthropomorphically, which means with human characteristics. For instance, the Bible may say, with his mighty hand, he drove them out. Or the Bible talks about how God hears us. You know, they're expressing God or describing God with human characteristics. But I think it's better, rather than saying that God is described anthropomorphically, I think it's better to say that humans are theomorphic. What I mean whenever I say that is God created us so that we can express him. You know, some people live life and they have questions about whether God truly hears. You know, they'll look around in the world and they'll see wicked people prospering and doing very well in life. But on the other hand, they will see very righteous people suffering and going through hard times. And they'll ask the question, well, does God really hear? Does God really see what we are going through? Does God really care? I think the answer to that question really lies in this point. And the psalmist talks about this a little bit in Psalm 94. Let's go there here quickly. Psalm 94, we'll just start from reading from verse 1. In Psalm 94, the psalmist describes a people who are wondering if God really listens. Is God really there and does he really care? Psalm 94, starting in verse 1, O Lord, God of vengeance, shine forth. The psalmist says, these people are saying, where are you? Come out so we can see you. Rise up, O judge of the earth, render recompense to the proud. Verse 3, how long shall the wicked, O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? They pour forth words, they speak arrogantly. All who do wickedness vaunt themselves. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the orphans. They say the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob pay heed. So these people that the psalmist is describing, they have the same questions that we sometimes have. Where is God? Does he truly see? Well, the psalmist says in the next couple of verses, if we understand that we express God, then we have our answer, starting in verse 8. Pay heed, you senseless among the people, and when will you understand, stupid ones? This is the psalmist talking. That's not me. Verse 9, he who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who chastens the nations, will he not rebuke? Even he who teaches man knowledge. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are a mere breath. Well, here the psalmist answers the question. He says, don't you see you express God? You're created in a way so that God can express himself through you. You're wondering if God really hears. You have ears, don't you? Don't you then the God who created you also hears. You have eyes, don't you? Well, then the God who created you also can see. See, being created in God's image means that we express God. But that's not all it means. What else does it mean for us to image God? Well, it also means that we represent God's presence. In the ancient world, the idol, or the image, whatever you want to call it, would represent that God's presence. So to the ancient pagans, whenever they walked into a pagan temple, and they were in front of the idol, well, to them, they were in the presence of a God. Well, I'm not going to say that we are all gods here and we should worship humanity, but I do believe that we represent God's presence. You know, some people wonder, especially today, wonder if God really exists, if he is really out there, if he really created the earth. And that's a fairly new question. Now, the ancients didn't really have that question, but we have that question. For the most part, people today are either atheist or monotheist, but back in the ancient world, people were either polytheist or monotheist. Everyone believed that a God exists in some form, and I believe there's a reason for that. I believe the reason that the ancient world in general believed in gods or whatever is because they could see God's presence through creation. The same is true today. I'm not going to get into a deep argument on creation versus evolution or anything, but if we look around and look at God's creation, well, we can see his presence through that. And that's, I think that's most evident with humanity. God's presence can be seen clearly through humanity, especially whenever you compare it to the rest of creation. Humans, for instance, we have reason and logic. We can think through things. There's a reason we do what we do, and that can't really be said for the animals. You know, my cat, I don't know why my cat does some of the stuff she does, but, you know, she does them. The animals don't have reason. They don't have logic. And because of that, they don't create art or poetry. I mean, that'd be pretty cool. But they don't create art or poetry. Humans, we create art, we write poetry, and it's very beautiful things. It's not something we can say of the animals. Humans can create and innovate. You know, when humans were first placed on this earth, I'm sure we didn't have buildings like this with light and AC, but we're here now. Where do the birds sleep? The birds still sleep in nests, and that's how it was, and it has always been. You know, humans, whenever, in the beginning, they probably just walked around. But now, you know, we have cars, we have airplanes. How do the animals get around? Are they driving? No. There's obviously a difference between us and the animals, just as God said, because we are special. We are created in his image. It's evident to anyone who's looking that we represent God's presence. And that's part of what it means to be created in God's image. That's a short point, but I got one more point for you. What does it mean to be created in God's image? It means we rule for God. This could be seen in what they would call the imperial courts. I'm sure there were imperial courts, but the imperial cults. That's where these pagan religions, they would worship the emperor. And it's not necessarily that they viewed the emperor as God, but they viewed the emperor more as an idol. And this emperor would rule for that God. I think this is important to understand because we also rule for God. That's what it means to be created in God's image. You know, that idea of us imaging God, it not only represents the fact that we're unique. It also represents our function, something that we are supposed to be doing. We are supposed to rule for God. This is evidenced back in Genesis chapter 1. Back in Genesis chapter 1, every time it mentions that humans are created in God's image, well, it also ties that fact to us ruling. Starting verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So whenever this text mentions that we are created in God's image, we really see two things. One, that humans are supposed to rule and supposed to rightly manage God's creation. And two, we're supposed to multiply and fill the earth with spiritual people, with spiritual idols. And that's the function of being created in God's image. We rule for him. You know, Jesus hints at this in his parables, in some of his parables. Let's look at the parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. It says, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. And he said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, have what is yours." But his master said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. In this parable, we see this master. And while he was away, he expected his servants to rule for him. He expected his servants to manage his things righteously. Well, that's the idea. That is the verb or the function of imaging God. We are to rule and to multiply for him. This is what it means to be created in God's image. And ultimately, this is what it means to be truly human. This is how it was supposed to have been from the beginning. We are supposed to express God, represent God's presence, and rule and multiply for him. Now, you guys might be saying, "Well, that's all well and good, Reuben. You've given us a lot of information, or maybe a little bit of information, depending on your perspective. But you've given us some information. What do we do with it now?" Or the question would be, so what? What do we do with this? So with the time we have left, I'm going to give you just 2 quick points of application that we could take or into it from us being created in God's image. You know, it's great that we have all of this knowledge and we can see these things, but if we can't refine it into something that we can use daily, then it is of no value. So what? What does this mean for me daily? First of all, we've got to trust in the Lord. You know, sometimes we're going to go through hard times. We're going to go through persecution. in times where we wonder if God is really there. In those times, we need to remember that we're created in God's image. If we are ever wondering, if I'm ever wondering, man, does God really see what I'm going through? Then I need to remember, well, Reuben, you have eyes, don't you? God created you so that you can see. He surely can see. You know, we are going to go through hard times. If you live long enough, there's no if about it. It's going to happen. We need to make sure that we're always trusting God. And here's a second point of application for you. These are going to be quick, unlike some people's here, but this is going to be quick. Number two, we need to rightly manage God's creation. You know, God has blessed us with so much. God has blessed us with so many things, especially in the 21st century with some of the technological advancements that we have. We've got the internet. We could do so much good with what we have. We need to use those things to rule for God. Other people should see God's rule flowing through us. You know, whenever I'm on the internet or using social media, I need to use that to spread God's word, to bring other people to Christ, if I'm using it for anything. You know, if I'm using the internet to look at inappropriate things or only to argue with people about politics on Facebook, then I am doing it wrong. I am not rightly managing what God has given you. If I'm going to truly and rightly image God, and I'm not saying that we're not created in God's image. I think there's a difference between being created in God's image and imaging God. If I am truly imaging God, then I will rightly manage his creation. In conclusion, maybe there's someone here who's not living that way. They're not living in a way that trusts God. They're not living in a way that rightly manages or rightly rules for God. Others would look at you, they would just see the world rather than seeing God's rule flowing through you. Well, if that's you and you want to come back to the Lord, you could do that tonight. And we'd love for you to do that tonight. Maybe you need prayers, we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. Or maybe there's someone who wants to become a child of God today, become the type of person who truly and rightly images God. You could do that also. Whatever you need, you come now as we stand and as we sing.